Welcome to Harry Reid and Lucy Phelps from Witness for the Prosecution. Now, as always, I'm going to go off mic while I do this, but as always, for my podcast guests,
we
have cakes.
Oh. Cakes?
A mini.
I haven't had breakfast.
From Crumbs and Doilies. You're going to like these.
Is this a good
place? You can't have all of them. There are six.
Oh, wow.
But you can have a couple each.
So we
Thank you so much.
Either, these are mini. Malteser. They're very special. Malteser ones or Rolos.
Wow.
Right. Now, Harry Reid and Lucy Phelps, you are in Witness for the Prosecution, which I saw last week and absolutely loved it. What a brilliant piece of theatre that was.
Great, thank you.
Now, it's at County Hall. Yes. I could tell you all about the play, but you're in it. Yep. So I think you should tell you tell us about the play.
Go on,
Lucy.
Do you want me to kick off?
Go on, kick off.
Well, it's an Agatha Christie courtroom drama. And without giving too much away, because as we know, it's a bit of a full of lots of plot twists and whatnot, as is wont of an Agatha Christie. The play is about a young man called Leonard Vole, who is accused of a murder, with the motive of potentially wanting to inherit the lady's money. So we meet Leonard at the start of the play in the solicitor's office, and then follow his trial right to its conclusion, whatever that may be.
Yeah. So now, Harry, you are Leonard.
I am Leonard.
This is quite a difficult interview to conduct because I don't want to give away.
Yes, it is. I've noticed
quite,
that from you talk about it, and you're like,
it's quite tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. What would you like me to say?
I can say this, that at the end of the play, my little group who I was with, we all turned to each other and said, oh, didn't see that coming.
Well, that's good.
That's good. High five. That's
what we said. And but it's very difficult to say more than that. Now, it's set in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it doesn't, I mean, it's just so clever because Agatha Christie is really clever.
She's very clever.
And so you'd think, oh, that'll be rather dated. We'll all get that with modern technology nowadays.
Yes.
These things don't wash anymore. But actually, it does. You don't think, oh, why weren't there mobile phones and all of that? Yeah. It just works, doesn't it? We're in County Hall.
Yeah.
So we're sitting as an audience. We've got these big leather seats, which was the council chamber of County Hall.
Much comfier than other theatres.
It's very comfy. And you get a desk that flips out at you should you wish to take notes.
Yeah, exactly.
And an inkwell and things. Yeah. And there is a jury. And then you are in the middle. It's almost in the round, almost.
Yes,
piece.
Like a trust, isn't it? Yeah.
And we're very close to you. And I wanted to know, can you hear us whispering like, oh, I don't think he did, or did he? Can you hear that?
I can.
You're on stage a long time.
Once the trial, I mean, there's photos online, so I'm not really giving anything away, but once the trial starts, I'm sat in the middle of the stage throughout the whole thing, and obviously I'm witnessing that the testimonies go on, and because I am very close to the audience, I do get lots of little, sometimes they try and feed me little things. Mm. So it's okay, Leonard.
especially
on the matinee days when we get some old, there was one time there's a little old deer sat opposite me. And as I started to cry, the guy who plays the warder could hear her going, oh, Leonard, darling, it's okay. It's okay.
Pass you a tissue.
I was waiting for it. but we are very close to the audience, so we have that relationship with them, which is nice.
Yeah, I think because of the staging, the audience is really thrust into the action. They're sort of surrounded by the sights, smells and sounds of 1950s England and are really sort of, as we said before, sort of have jumped into their television box and are sort of thrust into the world of the 1950s. So I'm constantly hearing comments. But what's the great thing about it all taking place in the courtroom and within the framework of a courtroom drama is that we can look at people. I mean, if people are talking, I look directly at them because we're saying, once you're in the courtroom, we know you're there.
Yeah, no, my partner tried to speak to her. I said, no. Shh.
Yeah.
I said...
Myers will give you the eye if you talk out. He's done it several times.
No, quite right. Quite right.
He's very brilliant as Myers. But people are not just whispering there. There's some very vocal responses as well. That's sort of one of the sort of... reveals or developments of the plot. This woman sort of went, oh! And me and Richard clearly had to sort of keep it together to say...
Well, it must be quite hard not to laugh when that happens.
But it's also thrilling to know that, yes, we've done our job, because that's the job, really.
Were you surprised when you first read... Were you familiar with the play before? Because there has been a television adaptation, hasn't there?
There's been three.
Yeah, so did you know it, or did you just read it and go, ooh? didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't. No, I read the. I mean, there's been lots of adaptions, and seemingly the ending has changed on several different things. So, I mean, for anyone who does want to watch the BBC, you're welcome to, because it won't actually ruin anything, which is nice. But no, I didn't. It was a complete surprise, and I wasn't too clued up on Agatha's writing. But it seems like twists and plot twists are a thing. So. But yeah, it's very, it's an exciting thing.
So Harry, you I suppose best known for playing Ben Mitchell in EastEnders, son of Phil Mitchell.
Yes,
and your character was I do watch EastEnders.
Oh, do you?
Not all the time. Sometimes.
That's right.
But I did know
you're
that
busy,
you,
aren't you? That's that why I thought you'd watch it all the
busy
time.
Girl.
It's actually on record. You've got so about 13 years of recordings to watch.
That's right. But you played a gay character, didn't you?
Yes.
But he was gay.
Yes.
What sort of feedback did you get from the gay community? Was that a positive thing?
Very good.
Thing?
Yeah, very good feedback. That's a question that I was asked, obviously, a lot, especially when I first joined. but the response was always very good. I've said several times that I'm proud to be a representative of the LGBT community in that role. A lot of the time the fan mail that I received was the most obvious reward for the work I was doing. There was plenty of boys and girls as well that wrote into me and said about how the character had helped their problems with coming out, about dealing with families, because that's the main thing with Ben, which makes him so accessible for people out there in the real world, that he has this this blockage between him and his dad. You know, his dad is the big tough man of the square, and he doesn't want his son to be gay, but his son is gay. And so that was always the battle that was faced within EastEnders and with Ben and Phil. And that was what helped a lot of the audience to reach out to me and say thank you. I remember the first one I got, and he said about he'd had a struggle relationship with his dad. And in fact, a director I worked with as well also had the same thing, and even said that this sort of storyline helps him. So it was a real heartwarming thing to have, you know, and it was, I was very proud to play that role.
Yeah, when you think of the millions of people who watch that.
Exactly.
And see their own story being depicted, it's so important.
It is important. It's a sad subject that it's the people struggle with it, but I understand, you know, that struggle. Mm. And I've compared it before in previous interviews with me first deciding I wanted to be an actor. My dad is a bit old school. He's worked in a building company for years, and at first was very put off by that. But actually, once he saw me on stage, you know, he was the proud dad and gave me a hug and a kiss, you know. So I compared it to that. But it is a very, very important storyline as well for the world, if I'm honest. Yeah.
Now, Lucy, you play Leonard Vole's partner.
Yes.
I can't say more.
Significant
see,
other.
It's difficult. Now, she's German in the play. You have got a double first in French and Spanish from Exeter University, haven't you?
Yes,
oh,
it
so, is.
Yes, you do. Do you not know that?
She kept that quiet.
Did you not know
she's
that,
She's very
Harry?
Good at accents. And now this is all starting to
When I saw that,
reveal.
I thought, you see, that's why she found that German thing English. In fact, she could have delivered the whole performance
it all
in
comes
French
out
or
now,
Spanish.
Doesn't it?
But so there you go. Then you went to Lambda
after
university. Yeah. And then you did have to say, what did your parents make of that? Did they, oh, look, you would... All that, she's so bright, and now all she's doing is kicking her, treading the boards.
No, completely the opposite. I think I don't, I mean, I probably shouldn't say this, but I don't think I'd be still be doing it with my mum and dad. Every time you sort of, you know, when you have your ups and downs in the acting world, they're all there go, please come on, we still want to see you on Casualty, please.
Oh, bless
so,
them.
No, my mum and dad have been so supportive. We're very lucky in that sense. And I think they kind of sort of want to be my agent in that sense. I mean, they know nothing about the theatre world, but every time I'm sort of speak to them, they ring me up and say, I know, I see on the Radio Times they're doing this. Why don't you try and get a part in that? And well, yes, I'll give Richard Curtis a call next week. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Well, you have done a lot of work with the RSC.
Yes.
Done a lot of classical work. And then in the middle of your CV is Viva Forever.
Yes.
Yeah, how did that happen?
I've always wanted to do as much, you know, I've always wanted just to keep working, and I've had, you know, always wanted to sort of have a wide palette as much, you know, as much as possible. I think when you first come out, of drama school, you sort of kind of want to do everything. I do sing and I do dance, and I don't even really know how it happened. I had an absolutely fabulous year. You know, it was a shame the production didn't have a longer life, but we all had a great time on it. And gosh, if you told me when I was 7 that I'd get to meet the Spice Girls one day, I think I'd have said, no, you're only joking.
I went to the first night of that, and the party, what a party that was. Wasn't that phenomenal?
Do you remember the party?
I missed all the food.
Oh, yeah. No, on every table they had, you may not remember, they had chocolate slippers.
Well, I missed all the food.
It was terrible. Where were you?
Well, we were a bit late coming out of the theatre and a bit slow. And then I was trying to find my sister. I brought my sister as my guest and then trying to find my agent. And the next thing I know, everyone had eaten all the food. The next thing I know, I'd had a little bit too much Prosecco and had to sort of make my way home. But I did have a Chinese on, a takeaway Chinese on the
way
home.
We all went on a bus, I remember, from the theatre to the venue. Yeah. And then the main room, when we first went in, there was a lovely bar. And then, but that wasn't the room. The room was the next room where all the food, which you missed.
Yeah, I know. That's what I meant.
So you've done Call the Midwife and Silent Witness and all of that. And Harry, you've mainly done television. So, what's your preference? Live audience or telly?
I think what I'm comfortable with to date has been sort of I love the live experience. However, I'd love to do more telly and hearing all of Harry's stories.
Good stories then?
Yeah, I think it's they're very different. They're so different. I mean, there are plenty of different buzzes that you get from either. I think the buzz within TV acting is very internal, if you like. You can produce a really nice piece of work and it be recorded and you come away feeling really good about it, you know, or not. So, but whereas on stage, the buzz that you get is from that jeer, you know, at the end, or cheer, or whatever,
or
it may be.
The boo,
anything though, you know, you love a boo. Like, obviously where I'm playing the accused, I get, you know, and my testimony, I'm having to sell it to the jury several times. Now, bearing in mind, in a jury, you're asked to be emotionless. You're meant to just sit there, very plain face. There's people sat there going, like, and it's like, you know.
Now, I've heard, because the jury in the production, they do deliver a verdict.
Yes.
I'm not going to say what that is, but they also, which is scripted, so that otherwise the play would all go go all a bit wonky.
Awry.
but apparently they write down what they actually think on pieces of paper and you collect them.
Yes,
is that correct?
Yeah, what we did is Lucy installed this idea.
Lucy Bailey, the director.
Yes, the director. And the stenographer tells them that they are going to write a verdict down. We collect them in at the end and then they get left in my little dressing room. And what I've created is a wall of
justice
/ injustice, whatever you want to call it. And basically I've stuck them because we've got these, like, where we're not in a proper theatre, we've got makeshift, like, dressing rooms. And so we've decorated the wooden walls, if you like. You know, the girls are very creative with their nice, you know, colourings and stuff. And I've just stuck bits of paper on it. But I'm creating this masterpiece, and Richard, who plays the defence, has suggested I send it into the Tate to see what they say. I've taken photos of it as a progress.
Tracy, I'm going to eat your heart out.
And I'm going to put it together.
Yes.
I'm telling you, if I can make a mint out of it, I'll be laughing.
Yeah. Do people write comments or do they just write?
Well, interestingly, we get the odd little thing. So there was one which was quite interesting. She or he had said not guilty, and on the other side drawn a picture of Miss French being killed and loads of little bits. They draw. You can come and have a look at it. There's a pool
of
blood.
That's a bit disconcerting that she had time to do that. And
this is what my thing was.
Show,
was she watching the show or did she do it in the interval? Let's pretend she did it in the interval. But there's been lots of funny little. Somebody wrote.
That was probably not in your testimony. Not
yeah.
Mine.
Some cheers. somebody wrote not guilty # Team Mitchell.
Oh.
Which was obviously a reference
to
my predecessor. Yeah, so that was interesting.
But, and when you left EastEnders, you said it was a bit of a surprise. You didn't know that you were going to, but you must see that as a positive now because of what's happening. Yeah.
I saw it as a positive
now.
Before. You know, I never had a problem. Obviously, it was a shock. Mm-hmm. And I said, I admitted that, you know, because it was. I didn't go into John York's office thinking I've got the sack, because that's technically what it is. Not that we like to say it like that. It's a moving on. But it was a shock, but I was always excited. I never wanted to stay there for my whole life. I always wanted to play other parts. I particularly wanted to do some theatre, and here I am. So I'm very, very happy. And yeah, it's done nothing but, it's been nothing but good news for me since. So.
Well, not that I know anything about these sorts of things, but I think if you manage to get out before you are completely seen only as that character, and at your age you've managed to do that.
Oh, thank you.
Have that success, get out, and then blossom.
Yeah,
as an actor, and it's always fields, open. It's just really, yeah, it's really exciting,
and it's open as well. I always said if I'd have been killed off, I would have been harder to take, because he was a big part of my life for 3.5 years. So,
hey, but people can be killed off and still come back.
I mean,
oh yeah, that is true. Yeah, actually, yeah. So what am I bothered about?
No, exactly. It doesn't really matter what happened.
Harold Bishop and Neighbours. It
means that you just keep coming back.
Keep coming back.
Now, Lucy, you play, now your character in this is, she's really strong. She's a feisty. I don't want to use the word feisty woman, because I think that's. But you are used to playing powerful women in the men's world, really, and you do that again. Do you think the theatre with the old Me Too and everything, have you seen any change? I mean, you're very young. You've only been in the profession a few years, but are you aware of those issues? Have you been aware of those issues?
I think I've been increasingly aware of them over the last year. I think in my previous job there was some really healthy and open conversations about this, particularly with everything that was going on at the latter end of last year. I was with I did a year with the RSC last year, and they're very good at having open dialogues with the cast and talking about sort of the hopes for the future of the company. And so it was a great place to be in that sense, because it's a place that wants to do better and wants to reflect on itself in that way as a company, and say, how can we do better for increasing opportunities for women, or giving women a stronger voice? And obviously, you know, within a Shakespeare play, it's a tricky one. Mm-hmm. It's a hot debate of how do we, you know, get more representation of gender and diversity within classical pieces. So is it a bit increase? I think I wasn't always aware is it when I first started out, but it's very important thing to me actually at the moment. So it's been a great thing to play Romaine, in a woman with such character and such strength and such fearlessness in a man's world.
And humour. She's very funny.
And humour, yeah.
We loved her.
Exactly.
She's great.
Oh, I'm really pleased. Thank you. Thanks very much.
So looking ahead, now this is booking now. You can come and see this for, is it till next year, did I say?
End of March, at the moment,
2019.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is, to say, go and see this play, because it's great. I absolutely loved it. But I don't know, you may be there till March 2019. But what would be your dream role, both of you,
oh, God,
in the future?
This question.
Tricky one, I know.
You go first, Harry.
pressing part that you've always wanted to play.
Do you know what? Right, I've always loved villains, so it would be a villain. I'd like, just as a chance to play it, a villain without heart.
Without a heart.
Yes. Only because...
A through and through villain.
In the two pieces I've done so far, not I'm saying I'm a villain in this one.
Be careful.
Yeah. it's... there's always been... I love playing heart. I like crying. I like getting emotional. I like
you do
getting
all that
happy.
Very I
like,
well, I might
thank
say.
You. Oh, thank you. I love doing it. But it would be nice as well, just because, again, like I said, I've always wanted to do lots of different stuff, just to try a villain, just a real, I can't say the word on air, but that kind of person, you know, someone who you just, you watch, for instance, here's an example, although he has got a slight bit of heart about him, you know what I mean, Walking Dead, the character of Negan, if you ever watched it, but he's just a real brutal animal. Mm-hmm. And it's always interested me, and the whole old gangster movies I've always loved. So I'd love to play, you know, like a Scorsese Goodfellas remake or something.
Right.
Something
so
like
you
that.
Want to play a real hardcore nasty.
Real
one.
Nasty, yeah.
Lucy.
Yeah. Lucy wants to play an angel.
a bit, possibly a bit boring. I've always wanted to play Beatrice, Much Ado About Nothing.
I could see you doing that tomorrow.
I did.
Well, not tomorrow, because
you're
in... Are
they casting or something? Is that why you slipped that in there?
No.
Maybe I should have done
right.
that.
And
hold
who
on
would
a
you like to play your Benedict?
Who would I like to play my Benedict?
Harry Reid.
Hey! Yes. You two could do that.
Do you know what? I did that at uni. I played Don John. See,
right, okay.
I loved it. I'd do your Don John
you
if you
could
do that.
Do that.
Yeah.
I'd have that.
So if anyone's listening,
yes.
I would like
producing
it.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think that's we can eat our cakes now.
Oh,
I think we probably.
I did have the Rolo one during the chat.
Did you?
Yeah. I
so managed are you going to move on to a Malteser one now?
I kind of slowly
now?
Just moved away and
how
chewed.
How did you get that in?
You just put it. Don't,
try
no,
the
no,
Malteser
no, 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 in one. No,
that's the Malteser. That's going to crunch.
You might as well go and buy a packet of Maltesers and buy some plain cakes.
Harry Reid and Lucy Feltz, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you for
in
us.
To the Magic Musicals and Theatre podcast.
Thank you.
Thank
Love
you
it.
Very much.
That was the Musicals and Theatre podcast. And if you enjoyed that, then why not subscribe? It's absolutely free to our channel on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also hear me every weekend morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic.